around for that first 100, and then
exactly. It took him 74 balls to get to 100, very sluggish. Yeah. And then his next 67 deliveries, he hit 214.
I mean, Canberra'd still be sitting there thinking, you know, it could have been ours. That's crazy. But the Broncos, just a little too much class for him in the right area.
Yeah, we might have talked about that on the golf course, not actually recorded that, but we were talking about that at some point in the last few weeks about how maybe they weren't going as good as people thought.
Yeah.
They seemed to just,
Who knows when I said it?
I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Review is back. I had some time off last week, so while I had best intentions for us to do something, we played golf that day, but we didn't quite get to the episode, so apologies, that was on me. But we're back, we've got a bit of a catching up. We won't bother going back over AFL Grand Final and NRL prelims because that's ages ago, but there's been plenty happening. The best story this week is the young fella for Western Suburbs in Sydney grade cricket. 314 off 141 balls, 35 sixes in a one day game, and he went in the 11th over.
Yeah.
So he's, what does it say here?
He scratched around for that first 100, and then
exactly. It took him 74 balls to get to 100, very sluggish. Yeah. And then his next 67 deliveries, he hit 214. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Have you seen the footage?
No, I want to see the scorecard because I want to know how many singles he ran, or twos or threes.
He's a well-built fella. Like, I've been thinking for a while, right? We've got this huge participation by subcontinental, like Australians.
Heritage,
Either come here as kids, or their parents came here, or whatever it is, and they dominate our community cricket now, which is awesome because like we want our cricket to survive. And I've been thinking, when are they going to start hitting those top ends? Well, this guy, he played in the Australian under-19s. He scored a 50 in the under-19s final, and this is just like next level. He's a big boy, and he's just, what do they say? He lost $2,000 worth of cricket balls because they just couldn't find him. He was hitting them that far.
Yeah, incredible. I hope he kicks on. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if he's had a sniff of New South Wales, whether he's close to the squad or not. But you've got to think he's reckoning. And I know it's a weird thing to say, but sometimes they pick bolters for Ashes squads. You never do know because the guys who are in contention aren't doing too well at the moment. I know Sam Costas, is it? He's not doing good.
Yeah, the young fella from Victoria, though, Oliver Peake, I think his name is, he's got more runs. He got runs on the final day of the Shield to get him across the line. He went in with them in a little bit of trouble, and they reckon, I've seen a few different people talk about him being like next level class. There's a Jake Weatherall, is it? I can't remember which state he's in. Apparently there's a couple of young blokes from New South Wales, but I get the feeling they'll go for someone a bit older and more experienced. What do you reckon?
Oh, of course. There's always a weird selection. Remember, Peter Taylor got picked. Everyone thought it was Mark Taylor when he got picked. And I think, too, you know, Mark Waugh, he had to wait around. They thought he was going to be before Steve. So you never do know what goes through people's minds, especially if they see someone in the flesh as well. That often changes selectors' minds if they actually see them play. But this kid sounds like he's got a lot of promise. Just got to concentrate on that first 100, that's all.
Exactly. actually, if you haven't seen the footage, I don't know where you've been because it's all over social media and sports websites, but do yourself a favour. Crazy. Now, speaking of crazy, how good was that, not just the NRL Grand Final, but the whole final series? It's got to be, like, I can't remember anything being better than what we just went through.
Yeah, I mean, usually the AFL have a pretty good final series, but theirs really pales into comparison to what happened in the NRL. Like, how many games were close? Like, at least 70% of them? And they weren't just close, they were just belters. I mean, Canberra would still be sitting there thinking, you know, it could have been ours. That's crazy. And that try that was, you know, it was amazing. Like, people clutching. It's a long time since I've seen someone with the pace to have professional footballers just clutching at air.
Oh, like, you mean
they're
Reece
walking
Walsh's
around in the dark trying to find the
try. Yeah, he's trying to start the middle. Yeah.
It's reminded me of, like, not in the way it was scored, like, but a young Brad Fittler when he was in his teens playing and just had this massive step that nobody could get near. And he was quick too. Yeah. And this kid just change on a dime. It's amazing, really.
His acceleration, like the amount of times he picked it up from dummy half and he just burns the markers because they just can't go with him.
Was gone.
And then he's tough. And then he hits that front line. He pokes his nose through.
Yeah.
When Pappenhausen got in the clear and he had to chase him, it was almost like Walsh had to slow down to make sure he didn't overrun him. That's how quick he is. And for me, the best bit was that the tackle right at the death when Katoa got away and then had Pappenhausen on the inside. Like, that read to gamble on going.
And he just picked.
Four.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was a big gamble.
Yeah.
But the two Melbourne, like, there's probably three times Melbourne could have scored. And they either they dropped it, or someone poked it out of their arm, underneath their arm, or the one where he crossed the line, he just dropped it cold. So, I mean, I know Craig Bellamy's probably pretty philosophical after the season's over, but
definitely one that got away.
You can't come much closer than that.
Yeah, sometimes these things have a destiny about them. The Knights in 97, the Raiders in 89, Cowboys 2015, the Sharks 2016. Like, they just sort of had this feeling like it was just going to happen. And just the Broncos this year, I don't know. There's too many good storylines, and definitely one that got away for the Storm. It was great. I don't know if I'm alone here, but as a proud New South Welshman, it was hard cheering for the Broncos, but I couldn't see myself getting behind the Storm. But it was also good because, like, you know, what Madge did for New South Wales last year and how much shit he copped at the start of the year from a number of pundits, I was pretty happy for him too. It was awesome. And then there was, you know, other great storylines. Ben Hunt, the knock-on in the 2015, and his Broncos redemption, Adam Reynolds, even though both of them went on the field. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I stand by what I said about the Storm too. I think they were 8 out of 10 in the first half, and they were about a 6 out of 10 in the second half, so they're a 7 out of 10 team. They'll give you, you know, a pretty solid half, but the Broncos, just a little too much class for them.
We might have talked about that on the golf course, not actually recorded that, but we were talking about that at some point in the last few weeks, about how maybe they weren't going as good as people thought.
Yeah.
They seemed to just,
Who knows when I said it.
Ange Watch. it's amazing, like, how impatient people are. Like, you can understand the Forest fans because they were happy with the last manager who'd got them as high as they've been in, I don't know, is it 30 years since they were that high in the Premier League? He gets flicked. Mm. He's now at West Ham. every chance West Ham start going well. And Ange's winless after seven starts, I think it is, despite the fact that they've played some good football. What do you reckon? You reckon the owner's in for the long haul with him?
No, probably not. I think if he loses another couple, he might be gone. I mean, the interesting one too, like in terms of head on the chopping block, probably Emerson over at United. They lost again, and you know, but in terms of patience, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think I said a few weeks ago that I thought Palace were a dark horse team that people wouldn't want to face, and then that, mm-hmm. that was Liverpool's first loss, and then they lost again to Galatasaray, and they lost again to Chelsea, all of which there was either chances or I think virtually every match has been decided in the last 5-10 minutes, and the fans have gone apoplectic, but they're pretty much playing the same way, just they got the rub of the greens wrong for the last three games. But they're not playing well. They're just, you know, just doing the business when they're winning and not doing the business when they're losing. So
yeah,
I think I'll welcome the international break. And probably Ange will too if he survives.
Yeah. We talked about it, I'm sure, 2 weeks ago in the review about how Liverpool were showing that championship quality of getting it done in the final sort of 5-10 minutes of games, and since then they've been rolled in that same time of the match. United actually had a win on the weekend.
Same manner.
United actually had a win on the weekend. You might be thinking of 2 weeks ago. United beat Sunderland 2-0.
Oh, it's the weekend before I'm thinking of.
Yeah, weekend before. Oh, I reckon. Well, yeah. Villa had a win, but they were in a bit of trouble because they did so well last year in Europe, and they're already, you know, battling away. Mate, how long before the cricket season starts? As a fan, I hate this void now when there's no real high-level sport between the end of the grand final until the cricket kicks off. I'm going to be forced to watch NBL and A-League, I think, just to get my fix. Where does your attention turn at this time?
I was looking up the times for Bathurst, mate. Starts tomorrow. I'll usually tune in sometime on the Sunday and then tune in again later. It's almost like watching a bit of Test cricket. You know, you saunter in at sort of one point and then you come back to it a bit later in the day. And everyone becomes a racing expert in the last five. If it's especially us. Yeah, it's like this. We just had the Ryder Cup, which, you know, again, something big that just finished. The American crowds showed their true class again. Rory obliged by giving him a bit of a message, I think, on one of his backswings.
Yeah, it was actually embarrassing. Like, I don't understand in what world they think that's. Like, I just don't understand the mentality of it. Like, aren't the Knicks crowds known for being, or just all the New York crowds in general, known for being pretty abrasive?
Yeah, I think they get that way at the tennis too, Flushing Meadows for the US Open. But I mean, golf, it's almost an entirely different beast. You're like, I remember watching a tournament with John Daly, like watching him live. It was just amazing. Threw cigarette down. Picked his wood up, smacked the ball, just kept walking. It's like in America, I wanted to see him do well. And it's the same thing. It's like you're looking at like 15, 20 of the greatest golfers in the world, and you're putting shit on half of them. It's crazy, you know. And had they not done that, I think the Americans might have snuck away with it.
Yeah, maybe. It just did seem to... particularly in the first 2 days, it did really seem to galvanise the Europeans, and they won those team events. It was an amazing comeback that they nearly got away with too, the Americans. Crazy. The only other thing that we usually check in on is the Wallabies, and unfortunately we seem to have a bit of a block around with the Kiwis, and competitive in both games, but again, just not good enough.
No, it's, you almost think that, I think they've got good team spirit. I just think they're probably lacking maybe one or two superstars to knock them over the edge. Because remember, we had a great team with, like, throughout the 90s, they still had, like, a couple of superstars there. Like, Eels was just, that was when he was unstoppable, where he was. Mm. And they had a back line to be envied by the rest of the world. I don't know. And I think, too, the Kiwis were coming off a bit of a hiding from the South Africans as well. So that doesn't help your cause when they're fired up to do well and prove everyone wrong.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of potential, but they've just got to peak at the right times. That's the thing. And start well. They don't start very well.
No, doesn't appear so. Again, not by no means an expert, and not even, I couldn't even call myself a part-time Union fan, but when, yeah, they start getting good again, I might have to jump back on the bandwagon. What about, we've got the Ashes coming up. Do you see us having any problems? I still, like I have for the last 10 years, worry about our batting. Like, if you take Steve Smith out of that team in the last 10 years, how many of those series we would just not have won? I'm a bit worried, actually.
Yeah, I was thinking about the opposite. Not for this series, but I was thinking, well, all the bowlers seem to be around about the same age. Who we go with? You know, guys come through, or is it going to be that maybe 10-year patch where we had guys who were probably playing above their level? You know, we've got four really talented fast bowlers. What have we got in reserve? That's the question I want to know. Are they blood anyone to come through? Other than the one...
There are a batch of fast bowlers sitting there in the wings, but I was reading the other day that a lot of them are injured. I really like the look of Xavier Bartlett, the fellow from Queensland. He's played a bit of white ball for Australia, T20 and one days. He swings it late. Got a decent amount of pace. I think it'd be good to see him kick on. I don't think he's that old either. I just think we'll find a way with the bowling. My concern is the batting. Like, I just don't. Mm. It's been a problem for a long time. Remember, we used to just like churn out batsmen, and there'd be six, seven guys like having massive first class runs, and they just couldn't get a start. Whereas now, I don't know. Where are we heading?
Well, I mean, again, and I know there's an alternate way. Look, is it the T20 influence? Because the one thing Steve Smith and, I mean, Warner did a little bit was they put partnerships together. And we need guys who are just going to hang in there when it's tough and just put a partnership together. And, you know, you get back to sides of the early 2000s and the 90s, you know, you had the top six, and it was 50, 100, 70, you know, 80 run partnerships. You're Gilchrist, you've already got 350 on the board, and you're raring to go for another 150. So, you know, it's just a matter of concentration. I think they've got the skills, these guys, but I don't know, they're just stuck in certain modes and they have to try stuff when all they need to do is get good at leaving the ball and get good at running singles. That's what you need to do to build partnerships, and then you'll seem to follow after that. That's the way I used to look at it. You know, to turn over a strike, making the fielders work, and then the things they got to think about. It's just basic cricket. Just get back to the basics. Don't play at stuff you don't have to play at. Because one thing that England are always good at is having swing bowlers. The guys who'll set you to play at balls you need to. But in Australia, if you can let them go, you know, that's when they start dropping short. And that's what they need to concentrate on.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Ryan Campbell, I saw, said they should be Josh Inglis as opener. And I was actually thinking that I like that. Like, we've been successful when we've had an aggressive opener, and they're not really sure who to play there. We'll put a guy in who's just got a test 100 not long ago, and he looks the goods in the one days all the time. I actually don't mind that idea.
Yeah, and I mean, opening up, especially someone aggressive, that's where you find the rapid bowling, that first five overs. If they're not on the spot, that's when you can take advantage, and it just puts the other team on the back foot. And I think we've seen that in the last few Ashes series. There's always just a moment where someone bowls a wide, someone hits a four, or someone gets a wicket first ball, and it just sort of sets the tone for the test and sometimes even the series.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.